artificial intelligence. It's a term we hear a lot these days, but what does it really mean for the church, and how can we make sure it's a safe tool to use? Well, we're excited to have James Poulter, a leading expert in AI, to shed some light on these questions next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
And welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. This is episode number 450, and my name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
Steve, how are you today?
Doing just wonderful.
Yeah. All right. What's new under the sun for you?
We are going to be going out of town to Vegas, going on a vacation that this is at least the second time that someone else coordinated a trip and planned it all out. And then the coordinator said, we're not going. So the others that were involved, last one was a very good friend of mine, high school. Last minute, he said, I'm not going. And so everyone else said, you want to still go? Yeah, everybody just went. So we're doing that. We were supposed to meet our former pastor of our church and his wife. His wife was celebrating a birthday and wanted to celebrate in Vegas. But he had a health issue and they can't make it. But the other couples that he invited, Mike Gray and I and our wives, we said, let's just go.
How come I'm never invited to these things?
I don't know. It was Jim and Leslie who coordinated it.
Yeah, you guys are good buddies with them. Well, yeah. I'm sorry that Jim's not doing well, but I'm sure you guys will have fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah,
we'll take pictures and send them to him. All right, so before we start, we have a guest. But before we start, I do want to encourage everybody to sign up for our next webinar coming up. It's coming up real soon. It's actually November 19th. So you need to go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, but you probably want to know what it is. So the title to that is it's called Enhance Your Church's Visibility in Google. And that's going to be, we got Bart Blair from Missional Marketing is going to be our guest. And this is a webinar it's only going to be about a half hour long or so. We'll take some Q&A at the end of it. And if you want to get your church seen a little bit more, if you want more people coming to your church website, coming to your live streaming, this is something that you don't want to miss. It's November 19th. That's a Tuesday, I think. It's 12 noon Eastern time, right?
Yep.
And people go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, sign up now, reserve your seat. And look, even if you can't go, sign up anyhow, because we'll send you the recorded copy of it.
Yeah. And these guys are the pros on this topic.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So. Bart Blair is a pro. Missional marketing are the people. And there's actually going to be a giveaway. So, you know, those are always kind of fun. Excuse me while I drink some water. Giveaway at the very end of it. So it'll be something really special that your ministry can use. So that's what's happening November 19th. Sign up at webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And you'll be glad you did. Also, this podcast is brought to you by DailyDive365.com. Preach once, inspire daily. Get daily devotional messages in your pastor's voice automatically. It's through magic,
quickly and easily. Yes, or it's through leveraging AI, which is what we're going to talk about today, right?
We're going to talk about AI today, but DailyDive365.com is our sponsor. Just a little inside information, that's us. Yeah. So go check it out, DailyDive365.com. All right, let's get to our guest this morning. Our next guest is a seasoned innovation expert with a particular emphasis on AI strategy and digital customer experiences. As the CEO and the co-founder of Vixen Labs, he has been instrumental in establishing the company as one of the world's leading full-service AI agencies. Please welcome to the Church Solutions Podcast, James Poulter. James, how are you today?
I'm doing really well, guys. Thank you so much for the opportunity to chat to you. It's always nice to reconnect with folks that you've at least met in person once, which is at least a good start. And even if we do this virtually, it's good to be with you again.
Yeah, and you're kind of known as JP, so we'll refer to you as JP. And you're across the pond right now.
I
You're in
am.
London, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's not just the accent, it is also the location. Yeah, I'm based here at our offices in central London. And yeah, as we record, a monumental day in US history. So, you know, we're recording on election day. So, for all of you that haven't yet got out and voted, I hope you're doing so and kind of helping the Republic, kind of keep Brexit 1.0, as we call it, kind of going strong. So, good to be with you guys.
It's good to be
Okay.
with you as well.
Glad
So,
to have you.
Steve and I will ask you some questions here. We'll step on each other.
Yeah.
Steve, you want to ask the first question?
I will just one quick comment here. I mentioned that these trips, we're probably going on this trip, and the other, it happened to me once. It was my good friend, JP, not you, JP, but another good friend of mine from high school that we call JP as well. So it's just, it's interesting. So you're the CEO and co-founder of Vixen Labs. Tell us a little bit about, your journey and what's Vixen Labs about.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're in a really interesting time of transition right now. So for the past 6 years, I've run a business with my co-founder, Jen Heap, called Vixen Labs, as you say. We completed an acquisition by a wider agency group called House 337 here in London last year. And so as we record, we're literally in the process now of going from that brand into the House 337 brand, where I get to lead the AI team here. And that journey has been a fascinating one. We started the company 6 years ago, really around the technology that was beginning to open itself up to developers, which was Alexa, Amazon's Alexa technology. And actually, did you know that as we record today, it's the 10th anniversary of the first Amazon Echo being released? It's so 10 years already that we've had this interesting voice-enabled speaker living in your living room, kitchen, or wherever you're maybe listening to us on that very device right now. And I've been fascinated with that world of voice technology for a long time. And so, in my previous role, before founding the agency, I was working at Lego, the toy company, experimenting with voice technology and AI in the early days of what I would call kind of consumer level AI, which was mostly what we would think of as natural language processing. So these tools like Alexa and Google Assistant that have the ability to understand something that you were speaking out loud and turn that into text and turn that into a computer command. Many years before we get to now, what we're working with much more regularly here at House and at Vixen, which is the GPTs of the world, and what many people will know as ChatGPT, these large language models, these models that can have been trained on massive amounts of content on the internet and now can talk to us in near human quality, which obviously is transforming many aspects of society and work and ministry and mission as well. So that's kind of a little bit of the background, but to bring us right up to date, we're really thinking about where does this technology take us in the next decade? If you think that Alexa's already 10 years old, but think about how novel it was 10 years ago, where will the technology that we have in its very infancy right now in the form of ChatGPT and Claude and Perplexity and these other AI tools, 10 years from now, they're going to be wildly more advanced. And so that's the thing that I spend most of my time thinking about.
Yeah, I'm a, I'm a tech nerd, so I was an early adopter for Alexa. I remember my wife, she's a big social person, social media person, and she posted, this is probably Alexa, stop. She's right here. And she heard me mention her name. Anyway, she posted on social media that my husband has introduced a new woman to our bedroom. Was her said her name is Alexa, and because yeah, that's where we put our very first one, was up in our bedroom, just because it's been, I've been a big fan for a long time, so.
All right,
Well,
so
and yeah, Alexa was just to add. I mean, it's not surprising that you tell that story because Alexa was kind of one of these foundational technologies in getting people familiar with the idea that you might talk to a computer. And now, obviously, we see people, hundreds of millions of people doing that around the world, not only in the form of voice, but also in the chatbots that we'll come on to talk about. So, Alexa, yeah, it has been a really seminal piece of technology in that kind of adoption curve of people getting used to talking to a computer in the way that we do today.
yeah. So if I'm a pastor or maybe tech guy from my church listening to this podcast right now. How has the AI landscape evolved over the last couple of years? And really, what's the most significant trends that are shaping not just the industry today, but really especially involving ministry today?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's put this into kind of context. So we're coming up on the 2 year anniversary of ChatGPT being released here at kind of later in November. And in 2 years, we've gone from a technology that started with, zero base users, has grown to 250 million people using it every week around the world. That's about a half the size of WhatsApp's global user base in the less than 2 years, with a brand called ChatGPT, which is not exactly the catchiest of names, and zero marketing dollars as well to begin with. So this is a completely revolutionary thing that we've seen in consumer level technology. But of course, ChatGPT is one part of the puzzle. What's really going on underneath the hood of all of these technologies is these large language models, which now have become explosive in their capability and also in their permanence across loads of different types of technology. So for many people, the way that you're going to be using AI in your ministry, whether that's in your church or in the mission field or just in community work, wherever you're operating, is probably actually AI being embedded into the other tools that you already use today. Just even as we record this episode, I'm not giving away the game that we're recording on Zoom right now. Zoom has its own AI companion that can record and summarize meetings and events. We've got the Otter.ai meeting note taker in this meeting with us that's doing that same job to record and maintain the technology. But we're also seeing it come up in Copilot with Microsoft 365, or if you're a Google user, you might have Gemini running on your instance. So many of the tools that we use today are going to be AI enabled. That's just a given. But we're seeing this plethora of applications that are being built on top of these foundational models that are coming to transform many of the what I would call the administration of ministry tasks. And that's really where I think the opportunity is that we don't want people who've trained to go into ministry to be administers. We want them to be ministers. We want them to be doing ministry work. And actually, so much of just getting by in modern life, from filling out, tax declarations to, safeguarding forms to putting together maternity policies or whatever it might be, these are all things that people in ministry have to contend with, whether you're operating at the smallest level or in, big mega church contexts or in international development ministries. So this is where I think there's huge opportunity. AI is going to completely transform the busy work, the annoying tasks, the things that you do every week, but they are the necessary evils of running an organization. That's where there's real opportunity with AI right now.
Yeah, we have a blog, blog.streamingchurch.tv, if anybody's interested in it. And lately, the last few podcasts that we've done here, I've submitted the transcript to ChatGPT and asked it to basically create a blog post from that. And then I've gone in
Correct, yeah.
and done some editing to it as well. It's not just doing it all. It's not all ChatGPT, but I did some editing to it, and then it basically has summarized the last two or three of our podcasts by in a blog form. And actually, I like that.
So there's
Absolutely.
been. Go ahead. Go ahead, JP.
No, I was going to say, well, I think that the way that workflow you've just described is one task that maybe previously was a couple of hours work, right? Probably reduced down to, I guess, 20 minutes worth of work. If you extrapolate that across the whole economy, think about the efficiencies that we're going to begin to see if that is truly adopted at a much broader scale. Now, of course, not everyone is doing this, but that is the direction of travel. We just released a study here at House a couple of weeks ago called the AI Impact Report. And what we're seeing is that about 75% of Americans have tried at least AI tools once, but less than half of them are using them all of the time. So there's a long way to go in getting people to adopt and use this technology more broadly across everything that they're doing. But we also know that, particularly within a ministry context, it's a real bell curve. Research that was done last year by Glue and Barna shows that pastors in particular really fall into two big camps, ones that basically want to use it for absolutely everything and ones that think it's very dangerous and evil and don't want to go anywhere near it. And I think we'll see that that number will change over time, but we need to see a lot more people come into the middle where they begin to use it for selected tasks on a regular basis, and that's where we're going to begin to see that administration burden of running a ministry come down.
Are you familiar with, I can't remember the author's name, but the book Crossing the Chasm that talks about technology adoption? And you mentioned the bell curve, and that's where my mind went. And where do you, and that basically puts people, as a new technology is introduced, there's early adopters, which I'd probably put myself in there, and then there's I can't remember what the next group is, but
The
those
yeah,
are
it's the early majority is what
an
comes up
early
usually at the back.
majority, and then it reaches majority, and so this is the top of the bell curve where it's just like normal things, and then there's later adopters, which are, so okay, this thing is really going to be real. I'm gonna embrace whatever it is. I'm gonna get on the internet. I'm gonna start doing this sort of thing. And then there's the laggards that are just are on the very end. Even once, 80, 90% of the population has accepted the technology and is using it regularly, there's those. Where do you see this AI that you say we're celebrating the 2-year anniversary of it really getting big? Where are we as a population on that curve?
Well, funnily enough, there's two ways of thinking about it. There's the what people actively think of as using AI, right? So that's your person that's logged into ChatGPT or has opened an account with Claude or Perplexity or is actively going to like Gemini.google and putting in some questions. For those people, I think we're still in the early majority. We're past the very early adopters. Those are the ones that got on in the first 12 months. So we're probably moving into that early majority where we know about a third of people in the US and the UK, based upon our own research, are beginning to use these tools on some regularity. The bit that's harder to know is the people that have actually used or are regularly using AI tools but don't know it. And that, I think, we're already into that majority phase, because the amount of people that have a desk job, or they use technology in some kind of way, where an AI is already present in something they're using, is already at a massive scale. And this is particularly exemplified by iOS 18 and Apple Intelligence that's now beginning to roll out to new iPhone users. Now, of course, not everybody has the latest iPhone, right? And in fact, many people will not have the latest iPhone. But over the next 24 months, as people naturally go through that cycle of upgrading their phones, they're going to come into their primary computing device, particularly in the US, being an iPhone or a new Mac or a device that they've got a hold of that has AI essentially built into the very operating system of what they're using. And so for those people, they would never necessarily declare themselves as, "Hey, I'm an AI user." But of course, they are using it. They are using it without necessarily knowing it. And what we've seen is the same thing as we mentioned at the top of the show about Alexa, is that for many people, they've just got into the habit of using it. They don't think of it as, "I'm using an AI tool right now," or "I'm going to talk to a voice assistant." They just ask Alexa to go, add something to a shopping list, or they reorder something, or they ask it to play their favorite podcast or song. It just becomes part of habit and usage. And that's why we're both at this interesting and also potentially a dangerous moment, because as this becomes just commonplace, we stop kind of questioning it very much on what it's there for and how it works and how we're using it. And that's where we've got a moment, I think, for reflection on how we use AI and what we allow it to do before we kind of sleepwalk into it just becoming habitual, which is what we saw with social media and where some of the problems that we've then come to deal with later have been, perhaps overlooked in the earlier phase of when social media began to roll out.
So that brings me, let me jump in here, because the pushback from people in ministry seems to have decreased over AI, at least some stats that I saw. But I just talked to somebody last week, one of our customers. We're streaming church.tv, and one of our customers said, "I don't like AI, and I don't like the fact that you're using AI." And I didn't want to argue with the guy, but what would you say to somebody like that?
Yeah, I totally get it. I totally get why people would be, "Hey, I'm resistant to this," because there are a lot of questions about AI, and particularly the types of AI that we're using. When you think about the potential for, just take language as being one of the primary things that ChatGPT and these tools are very good to work with. This, particularly for church leaders, for people leading ministries, words and language are highly, highly important, much more so in ministry context than many other jobs and disciplines. Obviously, language is important to everyone that works, particularly in knowledge work settings or where safety and things is involved. But pastors in particular, we believe that there's a certain sanctity around the language that is being used, obviously the Bible and the Word of God in particular, but also more broadly than that, the role of a pastor and a teacher to communicate God's word. And many of the early cases that we've seen with AI is that it comes to try and help assist us in that space, right? In terms of writing content or being suggestive or helping with research. And we've known, obviously, at the early phases of this technology, there were lots of problems with that. It was, hallucinating. It was coming up with stuff that was incorrect, but also that it wasn't necessarily reflective of a Christian worldview. And that's what many pastors have got concerns with. And that's completely understandable. What I think that we can miss the boat with, though, or that whole analogy of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, is to say, well, I'm not going to use it for any of that stuff, and therefore I'm not going to use it for anything. And that is where I think we maybe kind of miss a trick. Okay, fine. If you're not comfortable with the way the worldview that the AI is presenting, or its capability to do a good job of helping assist you in, say, writing a sermon or a prayer ministry piece or whatever it might be, fine, don't go near it for that. But did you really go to the ministry to do the rota for the worship team on Sunday? Did you really use it? Do you want to be doing that? And also not to miss the opportunities of take just translation as a good example. Many ministries, I'm sure listening, have got congregation members that where English isn't their first language, particularly across the South, many Spanish speaking Americans as their first language. Think of the potential for every bit of content you've ever written for the past decade in English to now suddenly at a click of the button be available to your Spanish speaking congregation members. The amount of work and effort that would have gone into that before. Now, is it going to be 100%? Correct. No, it's not. But if you use a human translator, is it 100% correct? No, it's not. Actually, about 95% usually is the accuracy level of a human translator. Some of these AIs have been proven to be 97, 98% accurate. So it's never going to be perfect, but think about the opportunity that that presents. And so what I would say to any pastor or that has concerns is you're right to have concerns. And I wouldn't want to push you away from those. But don't necessarily give up on all of the opportunities that it presents just because you have the concerns. Go find other places where it might be helpful for you.
I heard a recent podcast talking on this very topic, and they were the hosts were kind of concluding, this is a tool that can help your ministry. And he says, there's not any pastors out there that are grabbing feathers and ink and writing their sermon notes on, some old-fashioned that people are pulling out computers because it's I can just get the job done quicker, and it's useful and it's helpful. It's just a tool, is kind of what, and you need to use your tool with the same amount of caution you would use any tool, and you wouldn't want to misuse the tool. You wouldn't want it to do some things that it shouldn't be doing as well. But
That's right.
it's just a tool, and use your common sense on where you use it and how you use it. But I think, I mean, I've definitely over the past 6 months or so, my job, what I do, has gotten, I can do so much faster now that we have AI. And I've just learned, and I've been continually impressed with, oh, there's no way it can do that. Oh, let's just give it a try, And like, wow, that just saved me probably an hour and a half of time. Where if I'd done it my old way, which was Googling on the web and finding out what, how some other person solved this problem, and everything just becomes so fast. So I've just been able to try different things and new things. We go on family vacations. We're going to do one this week. I haven't done it for this one, but I'll say, hey, we're going to DC. Going to spend 5 days. Gonna, I'm interested in this. My wife likes this. What do you recommend? And it really put together a pretty good suggestion of an itinerary for, we didn't follow it exactly, but without it, it would have taken, we might have missed some things. Might not have,
That's right.
it might not have known my bent, when I went on this trip, and I wouldn't have visited the Museum of the Bible, or not knowing it existed. So that sort of
A
thing.
good place to visit, I would recommend. And I would say, Steve, you're right. Those kind of admin tasks are the things that I think there's huge opportunity. But I just want to double click on this tool analogy, because I think it's a helpful one. People do present this all the time. It's just a tool. And I see the validity in that argument, right? It is just a tool when used as a tool. The thing that we also know is that, if I often use the analogy of take the chair that I'm sitting on as I talk to you. A chair is a tool. It's a function of physics and ergonomics to stop me falling on the ground. But if I pick it up and whack you over the head with it, it becomes a weapon. And equally, if I put it at the front of the room and I sit someone on it and I point at it and I say they are king, then it becomes a throne. And so the thing that we are in a really interesting moment in is that these AIs at the moment are probably contained within the bracket of tool. And in near future, if not already, they are verging on the ability to be used as weapons if we're not careful. And they will get smart enough that at some point or other, some of them are going to start calling them king. And that's where we have a real responsibility, I think, as believers and as just citizens, to make sure that we're constantly kind of holding them in balance. And so, coming back to your kind of pastor friends that have maybe listening, or if you're a ministry or tech leader, is like definitely, I'm a pragmatist when it comes to this stuff. I'm not an evangelist. I'm saying pick it up and use it as a tool where you can, but hold that tension to make sure that you're never using it as a weapon. And certainly let's watch for people that start saying this is the answer to everything, because it's not the answer to everything. Jesus is the answer to everything. But this stuff can maybe help us uncover something about him and uncover something about the world. But it can equally be used as a danger as well. So you have to hold these things in tension. But that tool argument is one that I hear a lot, and it's a good way of thinking about it for now, as long as it stays there, which is important.
To get we're starting to run out of time here, but you said we need to be responsible. But I mean, so how do you do that? I mean, do you just start barking about it? Do you just start yelling about it? Hey, we can't do this. We can't do this. I mean, is how do you hold AI in check?
Well, holding AI in check is more important. It's about holding the humans that use the AI in check, which I think is the really crucial thing. So, just for practicality's sake, if you're a pastor listening right now, or you're a tech leader in your church ministry in some way, do a couple of things. Do you know who's using AI within inside your organization already, and what types of AI are they using? Very simple thing is just put together a quick Google form or a type form or a handwritten form if you don't want to use the tech, and literally just go around and ask the team, whether it's your pastors, your youth ministers, your guys on the worship team, wherever they're using it. Just what, hey, do we actually know what tools we're using? First question, because I can guarantee you, if you've not rolled AI out in any kind of official way, there's bound to be someone in a team of any size, right, that is using it off the desk over here somewhere on their own. So, just go find those people, not as a conviction way, but just say, hey, I just want to understand what are we using and how are we using it? Are we comfortable with that? So that would be the first thing. The second thing, and this may seem very counterintuitive, but is pay for it. I don't know how many people I have to explain this to, but like, if you're using free versions of ChatGPT, Perplexity, Claude, Gemini, whatever you're using, if you're not paying for a paid account for one of those tools, you're essentially giving them full permission to use whatever data you put into those tools. If you start paying for them, you enter into a commercial agreement with these companies where in the future they get sued, or there's an issue, or you want to reclaim your data, or you have a problem with it, you've at least got some level of recourse. But also, you give yourself access to the security functionality that many of the free versions don't have, the ability to delete your records, and also the ability for you to switch off future training of the AIs. So that's the second thing, it is pay for it. And then the third thing is create an AI ethics policy for your church ministry and be very clear about what is it that we're going to do. When we were together a few weeks ago, Phil, at the Glue AI hackathon, we had projects there that were doing everything from, repurposing sermons into clips and translating them into other languages, through to and including people adding AI to CCTV to be able to monitor attendance inside of churches, right? Now, again, that can be done in ways where it's anonymized and where it's safe, but it opens up all sorts of questions about whether or not, just because it can be done, should it be done? And if it is done, will your congregation go with you on that? And so just get together as a parish council or PCC or a leadership or eldership team and have a conversation about AI. Say, how are we happy to have this used in our context? Will we use AI to look at our giving records? Will we use it to track attendance? Will we use it to write our sermons or translate the weekly Bible study into kids ministry resources? All of which are things that can be done, could be done, maybe should be being done. But Will they be done? Well, that's down to you. And so the best way to control AI is actually to have human conversations around the table and talk about it, because so many of us are just picking these things up ad hoc because we see the opportunity, but we're not having a critical conversation about it. And that's my message to everybody right now, is to really think about it critically and have those
Yeah,
conversations.
that's excellent.
I would think as you did your survey, there would be people that on my staff, they would say, I'm not using any AI. And then you come back and you peel the onion back and you're finding out, yeah, because it's getting
There you
incorporated
are.
into everything you do. I mean,
That's right.
do you
That's
do a
right.
Google search? Do you look at the Gemini recommendations? It's
And of course, those things are quite, high level and quite generic, and probably aren't going to cause you massive amounts of issues. But think about, are you using Gen AI to rewrite stuff in Canva? Like, if you're using that for producing, your social media content, for example, are you using the tools? If you're using HubSpot as a CRM, for example, like, are you using the AI records in there? Even these Zoom recordings, where do they live? How are those transcripts being protected? Are you keeping those things safe? So, AI is coming in by the back door into basically every technology that we use in a ministry or a work context or in personal life. And so it's not always obvious that you might be using it. And I'll end with this stat, particularly from our recent AI impact report, which, if people want to get a copy of, by the way, I'm sure you guys can share a link, but it's free. It's a study of 2,000 people in the US and Canada, the UK, France, and in the Netherlands. And we see that there is about 90% of people have used some kind of Gen AI tool in the past year, but only about 15% of them can explain what generative AI actually is. So there's a massive gap between usage and understanding going on here. And that's the thing that we need to close. People need a certain level of understanding around AI because it's going to be a part of life. And much like any other significant part of life, it's something we should be discussing in the boardroom and in the bedroom. And in the pulpit. It's not something we can just leave up to the experts to try and sort out for us.
Wow, that's good. We're out of time here. So, what's the link to that, James, that you just mentioned?
So if you just head to house337.com, just the numerals house337.com, and hit our research and insights tab, and you'll be able to go grab a copy of the report for yourself.
Okay, that sounds good. JP, James Poulter, has been our guest today from Vixen Labs. And James, how can people get a hold of you?
Best way is to come and follow me on all the social media. Just search for James Poulter, all one word, particularly on Instagram, LinkedIn, or TikTok. And I share regular updates on how to get the best out of some of these tools, how to put policies in place, and how to do this stuff ethically. So if that's interesting, let me know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, this has been great. I really enjoyed this and really appreciate your time, JP. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Much appreciated, guys. Thank you so much. And thanks for continuing to educate people on doing what you do. It's super important.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you very much, what you're doing, and we appreciate our listeners and our viewers today. If you have any questions, please, you can reach out to us, support@streamingchurch.tv. That's one of our email addresses, or you can just go to streamingchurch.tv, one of our products. And we appreciate you spending some time with us today. Be sure and subscribe to the Church Solutions podcast if you have not already, and give us a rating as well. And again, gentlemen, thank you, Steve, and thank you, James, for being with us today.
Same here. It's great. It's my this is my this is my area. I love digging into this.
All right. Well, good deal. All right. Well, folks, please take care of yourself and each other. And I'm Phil Thompson. We'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. Please take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon.